by the time you're done praising and thanking and lifting your voice, then finally God is able to fill you once again with His Spirit. That's called a sacrifice of praise.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, you're listening to Straight Talk. This is Mark Jobe. Great to be with you once again this evening. We get radio listeners that respond to us in many different ways, and we love to hear from you, and it helps us stay in touch and know how to pray for you, and just lets us know that you are listening and what God is doing in your life. I got an email from Stacy who says, I just started listening to Pastor Mark on Moody Radio. Usually, I'm trying to be asleep by 10 and because I get up early, but I caught his teaching a few times and I just love it. Now I'm staying awake a little longer to hear his teaching. Stacy, I've had that from several people. Had someone recently tell me that they are go to bed early, but they said, if you can keep us awake, then we're going to come and visit you. And I was able to see them in person. And I just want to say thank you for those of you that encourage us here at Straight Talk. We do this for our radio listeners. We believe that the Word of God needs to be preached unapologetically, that the truth of God's Word has the power to change people's lives, that the Holy Spirit takes the messages that are transferred via the airwaves and is able to penetrate the hearts of listeners and make a difference in their life. So, Stacy, thank you for staying up, and I hope you're able to get up in the morning. God bless you. Now let's prepare ourselves to hear the Word.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Let's jump right in tonight. Pastor Mark will be continuing on in the book of Psalms. He is finishing up his message called Finding Your Praise tonight. We also are going to be finishing up our series called Finding Words, Talking Honestly with God. Here's Pastor Mark.
He's comparing being filled with wine with being filled with the Spirit, because the same thing happens when you are filled with the Spirit. He says, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, this outside influence that alters your personality and your normal makeup, when you get drunk with wine, filled with this substance, you behave like you wouldn't normally behave. And listen, and when you're filled with the Spirit, this outside influence affects you in such a way that you speak in ways that you normally wouldn't speak, and you act in ways that you normally wouldn't act, and you say things and behave in ways that are unnatural for you because you're under the influence of something else. Now, some of you aren't natural worshipers. You don't praise easily. You don't thank God easily. You don't sing easily. But when you're under the influence of the Spirit, you begin to lose the inhibitions that keep you from being a lavish worshiper of God. When you're under the influence of the Spirit, an outside influence, it begins to alter who you are and how you talk. And this is what it says. When you're filled with the Spirit, verse 19, you'll speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You will sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. You'll always be giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you become a singer, a worshiper, a person of thanksgiving. You start to behave in ways that are not natural for you to behave in. Suddenly you find yourself singing and worshiping, thanking God and raising your voice, giving glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. Now, scholars have debated whether when we're filled with the Spirit, we start singing and praising and thanking, or whether it's when we start singing and praising and thanking that we actually open up the door for the Spirit to fill us. Psychologists at one time thought that people that are happy smile more. And so when they're happy in their heart, they tend to smile. But they've done studies and they discovered that people that smile become happier. In other words, just the mere act of smiling and laughing, even if you're not that happy, actually generates a sense of happiness. They've discovered that behavior influences attitude. That attitude influences behavior, but also that exterior behavior influences attitude. Has it ever happened to you? You're depressed, you're down, you're out, you've had a bad day, but you get together with some friends. Some of you girls get together and you have a giggle party. I mean, you just get together and it has to be the right group of friends where you know each other, and you get together and you laugh until it hurts, and you smile until your cheeks can't move anymore, and you laugh so hard, and at the end of that laughing time, hey, your problems haven't gone away, but guess what? You feel so much better. Listen, that's the way it works with God. Some of you, you're going to be filled with the Spirit, and as you're filled with the Spirit, you're just going to start praising God and worshiping God because God has filled you to an overflow. Some of you don't feel filled with the Spirit, but you say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And so you start opening up the door to be filled with the Spirit through the door of worship and praise and thanksgiving. And by the time you're done praising and thanking and lifting your voice, then finally God is able to fill you once again with His Spirit. You know what that's called? That's called a sacrifice of praise. And the Bible is full of injunctions and exhortations to give thanks unto the Lord. Secondly, I give thanks because He's my helper. Look at what it says in verse 5. When hard pressed, I cried out to the Lord, and He brought me into a spacious place. I got to stop there for a moment. When I was hard pressed, that means when I was up against the wall. Have you ever felt that way? I have nowhere to move. Have you ever felt that way? My world is crushing in. I feel the pressure on me. I feel it coming at me. I feel suffocated. I feel insulated, isolated, under pressure. I feel like there's nowhere to turn. I feel like my back's against the wall. The Bible says, listen, when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord in that moment, and He brought me into a spacious place. The imagery there is that although I was pressed up and felt under pressure, God gave me some room. Has that ever happened to you? I'm at the end of my rope, and God gives me 10 more feet of rope. I feel like one more thing and I'm going to drown. And God, well, He put something up under me so I can hold it. I feel like, hey, I'm going to crack if financially I'm going to break, and God gives me one more month of reprieve. You see, God is the one that when we cry out to the heavens, He gives us space. I don't know, maybe you walked into this place today and said, I'm out of space. I don't have one more day left. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm about to cave in. I just need a break. And you cry out to God, and God is the God of, He is the God that loves to give people breaks. I can't tell you how many times I've been at the edge, and I've looked to the heavens and said, Lord, if You don't do something, it's over. And God is the God that makes a space. He makes a way. He opens up the door. And so we praise Him and thank Him because He is the way maker. He says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is my help. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. Listen, we give thanks to Him because He's our helper. If God is for you, then you can kiss fear goodbye because he's with you. Number three, write it down. Write it down. Not only do I give thanks because his love endures forever, not only do I give thanks because he is my helper, but it goes on to tell us in this psalm, I give thanks because he is my refuge. It says in verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord. Some of you need to hear this. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Amen. You say, well, I got these connections. Well, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. How many of you know humans will disappoint you? How many of you know that sometimes the line is busy on the other side when you really need it not to be busy? How many of you know that sometimes you go for a hug and it's not there? Sometimes you go for a word of encouragement and it's not going to come your way. Sometimes you need a hand and a hand's too busy doing something else and it's not reaching out to you. There are people that will disappoint you. You cannot be involved in community without in one way or another being disappointed by people. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is very clear about this. Listen, I would rather take refuge in the Lord than trust in humans. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. God will never disappoint you. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your high tower. Some of you need to learn what it means to go to God and say, God, before I go to my friend, before I go to my community, before I go to my small group, I'm going to go to you first, God. Some of you need to know what it means to go to the refuge of God and to say, God, I don't know what to do here, but I'm coming under the shadow of your wings, and I'm just saying, God, here is where I feel safe.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Finding Your Praise, which is from Pastor Mark's radio series called Finding Words, Talking Honestly with God. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Psalms, and we continue on with his message called Finding Your Praise.
And then the psalmist goes on to say, all the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I will cut them down. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I will cut them down. How many of you know sometimes you got to do mighty things in the name of Jesus? Sometimes you got to put a battle mode on and fight. They swarm around me like bees, but they will be consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I push back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Number four, not only do I give thanks because he is my refuge, I give thanks because he is at work. Verse 15 says, shouts of joy and victory sound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live. And I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Basically, what the psalmist is saying is in the middle of the battle, God, you were at work. Can I tell you something? We've just come out of a season of fasting and prayer. Some of you were so happy to have that season end. When we ended up, boy, some of you have stomach aches right now because, boy, you've made up for about 10 days of not eating. I told you not to get that sausage pizza and eat it. You got to start slow. But let me tell you something about fasting and prayer. Even though the fast is over, the prayer hasn't stopped. There are certain things that you just need to press on through because you haven't seen the answer yet that you prayed for. And it may be a month, 2 months, 3 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years before you see the full completion of what you are seeking God for. But don't give up. Can I tell you something? Can I just give you a word of encouragement? Trust me, I've been at this for a long time and I've seen it over and over. God is at work behind the scenes. You may not see what God is doing, but behind the curtain, God is moving pieces around and orchestrating an answer to the prayer that you have been asking Him for. God is at work. Hey, touch someone beside you and say, God is at work. Come on, touch someone else beside you and say, God is at work. Hey, I want you to know that God is at work. I believe that God is at work behind the scenes. God is working. God is moving. God is touching people. God is doing some things even though you cannot see. God is at work. God doesn't have to tell you what He's doing. He's sovereign. He doesn't always tell you, hey, this is what I'm doing. He just lets you know that He's at work. And that's part of trusting Him, to know that God is working behind the scenes. Even when you cannot see what He's doing, God is working behind the scenes. Number five, I give thanks because He's building on what others have rejected. Verse 22 says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And the Lord has done this. Now, I believe this is prophetic, speaking about Jesus, but I also believe that the psalmist was talking about his own experience. Have you ever experienced rejection? Yes. Do you know what rejection feels like? To feel like you're unwanted. To feel like I don't measure up. Feel like there's something maybe about me that doesn't quite measure up. The psalmist is using an image here. The builders in the time that the psalmist wrote, every major building that they built, they would first of all find the finest, strongest, biggest cornerstone. And they would put a stone on the corner of the building and they would build the entire house around that cornerstone. The cornerstone had to be the best, the biggest, the strongest. And they would build around the cornerstone an edifice. They would select that stone carefully. They would reject stones that were small, that were cracked, that didn't have the appearance that they wanted. They would go through many stones and throw some away and say, this is not worthy to be a cornerstone. The psalmist says, the cornerstone that the builders rejected, that they said, no, we can't build anything on this. No, this is not strong enough. This is not big enough. It's not smooth enough. It's not of enough quality to build something great on. We're going to reject this stone. That pile of rejected stones that the builders rejected, God has chosen out of the pile of rejects to put cornerstones in which He builds houses to His honor and to His glory, where He does incredible things with what others have rejected. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to say thank you, Jesus. There's not a person in this auditorium that doesn't have flaws and areas in their life. But you know what the Bible says? If you read in the New Testament, if you read in 1 Peter, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, as you come to Him, you are living stones. He says, you are a stone. Not a Mick Jagger stone, but you're a stone. And not stone, but a stone. You are a stone. Living stone. And he says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus was rejected by man, but became the cornerstone of our salvation. If our Messiah and chief shepherd was rejected, then what makes you and I think that we won't be rejected as well? But God has chosen living stones, you and I, to build a house for His glory that will represent the powerful glory of God. When people look at that spiritual house, they will say, God is great. God is building that house with people like you and I. Praise be to the glory of God. And then he goes on to say, and it's a marvelous in our eyes, the Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the homes of the altar. And then he closes with this. Number 6, I give thanks because he is my God. Amen. The power of this is in the possessive. There's something about him being God. There's something so much compelling about he being my God. I mean, there's a lot of great women out there. But when I say my wife, there's something powerful and enduring about she's mine. My wife. There's a lot of great kids out there, but I have 3. And they're my children. Well, I love a lot of kids out there. And there's some incredible kids, even at New Life Community Church, incredible teenagers and junior high kids. I'm amazed sometimes at these kids, and they come up and I get to talk with them and pray with them and like, hey, wow, like you like a little genius kid or what? You're so smart. And some of the insight and compelling things. But there's something about my kids because they're mine. It's a possessive. The psalmist ends up saying this. You are not just God. You are not just sovereign. You are not just glorious. But you are my God. And I will praise you. You are my God. And I will exalt you. Because you see, you're not just a God, but you are my God. And as my God, you know my name and I know your name. And we have a walk with you and communion with you. You are my God, my Father, Abba Father. I walk with you, talk with you, live with you, breathe with you. You know me, I know you. We walk together, my God. Oh, there's something powerful about saying that, my God. You know when I know that people have become a part of this church? When they're new, they say, oh, Pastor, I love your church. And after they've been here for a while, they say, you know, your church is really good. Hey, your church is, and they talk about your church. But when I know they've crossed the line when they say, my church. And when they say, we, you know, we really, I like the way we. Oh, because they've gone from, that's you, and I'm a spectator, a visitor, to no, that's me. I'm a part. That's us. This is not only my church, but I am the church. Oh, I know they've crossed a line when they go from you to my. Listen, you've crossed a line with God when you've gone from he is God to he is my God. My Father. There's a relationship there, a unity, an intimacy there, that if you don't know it, listen, you haven't walked with him the way you need to walk with him. And then he ends up this chapter kind of the way he started the chapter. The very same words. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Finding Words, talking honestly with God, and tonight was the end of his message called Finding Your Praise. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free as a podcast when you subscribe to our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. There you'll find information regarding Pastor Mark's ministries, as well as encouraging messages from Pastor Mark. If you'd prefer to have a CD, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs can be shipped for only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book is also available. It's called Unstuck, and it's only $10 plus shipping. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself tonight. Thanks so much for listening and being a part of the Straight Talk family. Please do join us again tomorrow as we begin a brand new series. Have a great night, and God bless.